Morning, everybody. How are we doing?
Good.
So we're rolling on our preparation following a typical Wednesday schedule, and obviously there's a lot of things to prepare for as we move into Baltimore. You know, I spent a year in Baltimore, the first season there, and I have a lot of positive memories from that experience. That was the year with Ted, and it was quite an experience, to say the least. I met my wife there, got married there. You know, was there for that first draft where we drafted Jonathan Ogden, Ray Lewis. Actually, was on the phone with New York in the draft room for those picks. So it was sort of a exciting experience as a young guy, and now looking at him and knowing John, I've gotten to know John a little bit over the years. I think he's done an excellent job transitioning into the head coaching role and just putting the whole team and philosophy together. You know, I've known Steve Bisciotti over the years just through my father-in-law, Ron. He and Steve are friends, and I really have a lot of respect for him as well. In terms of getting prepared for the team itself, the defense, I mean, I think you have to start there. Been dominant for years, have some really special players. Remember Ray Lewis, the first practice that he practiced in OTAs, we had an older linebacker at that point who was kind of the alpha male. And you know, typically rookies come in and they defer to the alpha male, but not Ray. I mean, he took control from minute one and really hasn't let it go since, and still makes impressive plays. He had that fourth down stop, but I mean, you could, however much time we have, you could list all the plays that he's made. I think you look at a guy like Ed Reed, who can ruin the game at any point from an offensive perspective. He's got great instincts, and he aggressively uses those instincts to make plays. And then once he's got the ball in his hands, he's an impressive returner. And they'll use him from time to time as a punt returner, and he's made plays there. And you know, you add the fact that he's a pretty special rusher when he's up on the line of scrimmage and he's rushing on their punt return team. He's a guy you have to deal with there as well. And you keep going, look at Suggs or Price or Nagata, Johnson, and all those guys, I think, can make plays and work really well together in terms of how they rush and coordinating the blitz packages that they have. And I think Landry's done a really nice job as well. He's a physical player, and remember we played him a couple years ago, two or three years ago in New York, and he was able to lay some pretty good sticks on different guys. So a lot to be alert for there. Offensively, played against Cam a lot of different times. I really like his system. It's creative. It creates problems in terms of adjustments. He's patient enough to run the ball consistently. They ran the ball, I'm pretty sure, the most of any team last year, and they've got a lot of people that can do that with Rice and McGahee, and you know, you take your pick. They both can hurt you. And then you add Todd Heap to the mix, Clayton. There's some weapons there. And I think that even though it's a younger offensive line, adding Burke to that has helped solidify it. And obviously Flacco's development from last year to this year, I think he's continued to make improvements. And on special teams, it's I'm sure the head coach has some input there, and he was a tremendous special teams coach over the years, and you can see some of his fingerprint there, and it's a pretty solid fingerprint. So with that, we'll open up to questions.
Coach, when your offense has struggled in the past, what have you done? Do you start throwing plays out early in the season? Do you open up the playbook? What's the best way to get an offense out of a funk?
Well, anytime you're looking to improve, I think the important thing is to focus on the process. And been a part of that in different ways. Sometimes it's not getting enough sacks, sometimes not getting enough picks, sometimes it's not getting enough production in one area. And if you just focus on the issue instead of how to improve the issue, you're sort of spinning your wheels. So what I'm looking to do is to improve the process. And I think there's a lot of things that we can do better within the core group of plays we have, and then we need to do a better job as well in terms of the game plan specific plays that we run against that opponent each week. And but you do go through, you're constantly going through the evaluation of what works well for us and then what's going to work well against that opponent, and how much carryover is there between the two. And after you choose from your list, you're going to obviously side towards the things that you do well that will work well against them.
Did you think about drafting Flacco when, you know, in 2008 when you were the Jets? You had a shot at him, right, because you were capable.
Yeah, at that point, we obviously looked at him. We spent time with him, things like that, but we were moving forward with the group of guys that we had, and ended up making the decision we did.
Were you surprised that he settled in as quickly as he did?
He's in spending time with him, he's a really bright guy. He's very, very determined, very conscientious, and you felt that in meeting with him, and it's translated. And he has a comfort level with what they asked him to do his rookie year, and you can see how it's expanding into this season.
Well, just to follow one more, then why are some guys like him and Ryan down there in Atlanta? I know I think he's a third, but you know, why do they? It doesn't seem to be so easy for them as rookies, and here you have Brady Quinn in his third year, and you know, it's not been a smooth start.
Everybody's different, and I know that you'd love to have the answer to that question, and if you could unlock the secret to that, I think everybody in the league would be knocking on your door. But you go through it, and some guys just hit at different points. Look at a guy like Kurt Warner. I mean, I don't know if he was in the World League, but I know he was in the Arena League, and I mean, he wasn't drafted, he was on the practice squad, I think, for Green Bay at one point. And now when he hit big, but it just took a little longer.
What would you say the experiment, and it is an experiment, to make Cribbs a full-time receiver, at which point do you get off of that and start looking at your rookie receivers?
Well, I wouldn't classify it as an experiment by any stretch. It's something that he's committed to and we've committed to, and I think he's done some good things. I think he's gotten open. Obviously, there's a few balls that he would have liked to have been able to convert on, and we would have liked him to do that as well. But he's made a lot of progress, and I think he'll continue to make progress as he works at it. And it's not something that happens overnight when you're coming from a different position. You're going through this with Brad Smith in New York, there were times where he'd make some unbelievable catches and some times where just didn't quite have the feel for the routes. But he's another guy that I think over time will continue to develop.
Yeah, but you never had Brad Smith as your number two receiver. I mean, he was three or four.
Well, it just depends on you know, where he is and how much progress he's made. I actually think that Josh has made significant progress through this transition, and you know, with that, each of those transitions develop different times.
Coach, question about third and long in this league. We saw it Sunday with the Browns, but we see it all over the league. Why do teams, when they're in like a third and nine, do we see pass completions of 3 and 4 yards? Why don't teams throw to the sticks more?
Well, it's not that you don't know where they are, and it's not that you're not trying to reach that depth. Sometimes it depends on what the coverage is. A lot of teams will drop 8 at that point and layer the sticks. Some teams will bring max pressures and force you to throw hot. Some teams' philosophy on third and long is catch and run, which is it's actually designed that way because there is separation between the coverage and the front. If you get it to someone and they'll run for the first down, it's not a high percentage play. The goal is to do a better job on first down and second down to stay out of that because typically you don't convert at a very high rate, and that's been true over time.
In your study of the two games so far, has Quinn thrown the ball actually in the end zone yet?
Yeah, I think he threw it to Furry at one point this past game, and I wasn't really charting it that specifically, Tony. I was looking more, has he thrown it to the right guy?
When your Quinn's getting hit so much, do you worry about him losing his confidence just because of the, nine sacks in 2 weeks?
Well, you don't want anybody to get hit back there, it's a combination of efforts. It's a combination of the O-line, the backs, the tight ends, and to some degree the quarterback, too. At some point, you have to look at it, and Peyton Manning does a great job of this, of just take your loss. And what I mean by that is instead of trying to make a play and taking the hit, at some point you gotta just let it go and live to fight another down. He's outstanding at that, and you got to know the difference between the two.
Eric, with the no huddles, it looks like you ran it for a few plays each week and then kind of get out of it quick. Why do you do that?
Well, you go to it different times. Sometimes it's part of the specific plan, and sometimes it's in reaction to where you are in the game, and other times it's used to change tempo. And I'm a fan of the no huddle. I mean, we work on it all the time, whether it's the 2-minute drives or whether it's during the normal course of practice. I think we have a comfort level with it, so it's not foreign to be able to just go in and out of it and run the base plays that you were going to run against that team anyways. It's a function of on the road you also have to deal with noise, so that could be a consideration. As you look at it.
I mean, it seemed like you might have had some success with it for a couple of plays and then went back to the huddle. Is that why you do that?
Yeah, sometimes it's more of a change of pace than anything else. So it's not necessarily you're going in saying, okay, we're going to run X amount of no huddle plays, but not opposed to going in and out of it at any point.
Coach, I know there's a lot of factors at play and a lot of dynamics, but what's a fair number of starts to be able to judge a quarterback?
I don't know if there's one specific number. What I'm always looking for is progress, and whatever that number is, I'm going to continue to look for progress each week.
Are you satisfied with Brady's progress through two games?
Well, I'm not satisfied with any of our progress. I think that the consistency needs to improve, and we're all responsible for that, and we all have to fix that. And you can't play a half football, you can't play three quarters of football. You can't do it. It's got to be the same throughout the course of the game. And that's really what I'm looking for overall, is that consistency throughout the course of the game. And once we get to that point, things will be a lot better.
Question: maybe going back to no huddle, could a steadier diet of that kind of help to jumpstart your offense, or can it help to jumpstart an offense? It kind of makes everyone more attuned to quicker pace.
Could it? There's times where it can, and there's also times where you look at it in a bigger picture mode. What you don't want to do is go out each series and only eat up this amount of the clock and then keep putting the defense back on the field if it's short, a shorter drive. So it can go either way.
What were the reasons for waiving Martin Rucker?
We liked Greg, who we claimed from Jacksonville, and just thought it was an opportunity to improve the team. And I like Martin, and I think he's done some good things, and I really hope he continues to do so as he moves forward.
Coach, you started off the session with thoughts about moving the early years in Baltimore there. But as a point of historical interest, could you go back to the last game in old Cleveland Stadium? I guess you were there. But what do you remember about the last day in Cleveland before the team moved to Baltimore?
Sad. I don't think anybody was happy about it. Players, coaches, there was it was sad.
Now, of course, Bill didn't make it to Baltimore. Did you feel like your NFL career might be over before it started at that point?
You don't really know. New head coach is coming in. You don't know what's going to happen, and you hope that you make a good impression. You hope that that the people that you've worked for who will be part of the process will recommend you to move forward, and you're just not sure. You're young and optimistic, and you don't know. I mean, I didn't have enough life experience at that point to know how any of it was going to work.
Yeah, I guess this is a bit of a philosophical question, but Brady Quinn has said that his focus is taking what the defense gives him. Isn't there something to be said also trying to get what you want and letting the defense adjust to you?
Well, you offensively, you have what you're always trying to do is create formations or to create plays that give you a certain look, and based on the look that you get, you go through your read progression. So you're always working to dictate what the game's going to be. Now, they have the ability to change, and they have the ability to game plan and do different things. And what you don't want to do is force something that's low percentage, that doesn't make sense, that is high percentage for a turnover, things like that. You're always working to dictate it, but you also have to react to what actually happens.
Harry, is it harder to project a quarterback from college to pros than other positions? I mean, look at Flacco, a guy coming from a small school, and you really don't know what he's going to do.
There's a lot of positions that you have to project, and the difficulty in the draft is always it's not like with like. You're not looking at the same quality of game tape. You're not looking at the same quality of opponent. The volume of exposures that you may get could be radically different. I think that's why sometimes those small school guys, you may not. It is a bigger projection, because how is he going to respond with a NFL offense? How is he going to respond against a totally different level of competition? And it's not an exact science. If you look at the volume of first-round quarterbacks that have come through, or quarterbacks in general, number that have come in versus number that have hit, and where do you put your range of hit? How many Peyton Mannings are there? How many Tom Brady's are there? That's one level of hit, and then there's another level, and it's some of it's how you want to look at the.
I think it's a risk, didn't you think, in the first round as a quarterback?
Well, ideally in the first round you hit. I think anytime you miss, it hurts, and depending on how high that draft pick is, it can really hurt, because it's all slotted and salary cap implications, and you know, you're looking to be right on that. I mean, you're looking to be right on all of them, but you know, the cost of being wrong there is higher.
How has John St. Clair played?
Well, I think that there's been times where I've really liked what he's done. I think last week, I know he was a little bit in the spotlight there for the production, but there were things that we could have done differently, and we could have done better to handle that situation, and also some of those things should have been handled that weren't executed the way they should have been. And with offensive linemen too, you know, sometimes it's a function of getting rid of the ball. You know, there's a timetable, and you know, that's when the ball's either supposed to go or you move up in the pocket, and you know, but they have expectations as to where the quarterback needs to be.
One more.
Oh, that's right.
Will Mac practice today, and how is that not coming along?
Rex is making some progress with Floyd. I'm going to see here afterwards. I think that there's a chance, but just going to have to see as we go through the week. And there'll be a group of guys that are kind of in that mix today.